I can say pretty much with a surety this morning that that's the two cutest offering takers I think that we've ever had in this church. And I think it did very well because it looked like the offering plates did very well as well. So thank you guys for that. How many of you, when you were younger or it was your family history or your family tradition, when my dad started to have grandchildren and him and my mom were kind of empty nesters and it was just them two, my mom and dad liked to travel a lot, not so much very far away, but they would do day trips all the time. And my dad, in his old age, became a very soft man, a very loving man, very, like, he loved his grandkids. And what he would do is before they would leave, he would call them all and he'd say, come down the house. And he had a lot of grandkids and he would line them up and he'd say, me and grandma are going up to Michigan for a couple days. Here's a couple dollars so you guys can have it while we were gone. He'd line them up and give them a $5 bill or couple singles and stuff like that. So the kids loved when grandma and grandpa went away because then when he would come back, he would always call them and he'd have some sort of gift or some sort of present that he picked up while they were there. They'd come down. They loved going to grandma and grandpa's house. Now I'm getting there. I'm having one grandchild and I'm excited. I like to spoil her and I am getting softer in my old age. But I always wondered why my dad never, like, I would get in that line at the end of the grandkids and I'd put my hand out too. And when my dad got to me, when he was passing out the money, he'd look at me and he'd say, get a job, bum. He wouldn't give me any money because I was an adult. I said all that for this reason. We've had two of our members that haven't been with us for a long time. They've been in the Canary Islands. And I've heard about how beautiful the Canary Islands are. But they are back with us. So now, I said all that now, and now they're getting nervous because they think everybody's going to do this and go up and ask them to give them money. I think we should take a couple minutes and greet one another. We haven't seen Sister Gwendolyn and Sister Brenda in a long time. So if you haven't had a chance, walk across the aisle, welcome them back, hug their neck. Let's fellowship one with another for a few moments and enjoy the company of our brothers and sisters before we get into the word this morning. Don't be walking up with your hand out asking them for money. All right, it's good to feel a sweet presence of love in the house this morning. I do have a few announcements that I want to make this morning. One, I'd like the church to remember Sister Darlene in prayer. Brother Troy texted me this morning and said that she's battling again with vertigo. So he was going to stay home with her. I believe that they are watching online. So when you pray, just remember to lift up Sister Darlene for her vertigo. And also, as you can tell, Sister Kim and her family are not with us. There's nothing wrong. They are traveling on vacation to South Carolina to visit some family. So just pray that the Lord has them safety on the highways and gets them back safe and let them have a really good time. You're looking at a preacher that believes in telling his members to go on vacation. Listen, life is tough. It's very tiresome. You get worn out. You need time to recharge. Listen, when you get back, I'll still be here to yell at you. I'll still be here to scream at you. Go away. Enjoy your family. Love one another. You only get one. I heard a message at a men's conference one time, and the man preached, and he's the assistant general superintendent of the entire UPCI. He's one of my favorite preachers, and he said, my goal in life is not to be the best preacher. My goal in life is not to preach at conferences. My goal in life is not to have the largest church. He said, my goal in life is not even to always have a Holy Ghost outpouring. My goal in life is to be the hero of my family. And he said, that is my ministry. I want my wife to know that she is loved. I want my kids to know that they are loved. And sometimes that means you just got to take a break. You got to go somewhere. You got to unplug them phones. You got to turn off them iPads and just be a family. And I encourage all of you, if you're able to do that, to do it. When you get back, we'll still be here. So go enjoy yourself and have a good time. And Kim and her family are doing that right now. I do want to say, you can be seated. You don't have to stand this whole time. I've announced this a couple times, and I want to announce it one more time if anybody is interested. Tomorrow at 6:30 at the Jefferson campus, Brother Vince Dean and his wife Tracy Dean, Sister Tracy, are hosting what they're calling Money God's Way, Building Wealth with Purpose. It's not a church service. It's a seminar. It's a training with a gentleman named Rob Cozart, who's a financial advisor at Odium Financial Planners. He's presenting a way to build wealth from God's perspective with faith involved and things like that. If there's anybody that's interested in going, I do have this flyer. Brother Dean and Sister Tracy contacted me this morning and asked, if you do plan to go, you are welcome to go. Please contact them before. They're going to have refreshments and things like that, and they need to get an accurate head count as far as how many people are coming. So it is open to everybody. So if you'd like to go, let me know. I can give you a flyer, but that will be 6:30 tomorrow at the Jefferson campus. As we've already said a couple times, we did raise a lot of money through our rummage sale, and I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited about the number of volunteers that we had here to help. I was telling Brother Carl this morning, a church of our size with the number of members that we have, to have the number of volunteers that show up is astronomical. If we can continue to grow and continue to keep that percentage of volunteers, we're going to be in really, really, really good shape. So thank you for that. What those funds have been able to cause us to do and what it's made possible is we as a church are going to take a day trip to Waldemere Amusement Park in Erie at some point this summer. We have not set the day yet, so the date is not set in stone. We are looking to do it on a Saturday because that's going to work best for those that work a job every day. So the goal is, and what we're able to do now is, most likely we're going to be able to pay for everyone's entrance into the park. So there'll be no money out of pocket. Your ticket will be paid. We're also going to pack picnic lunch, so lunch and drinks throughout the day will also be provided. So all we need to do is I've printed out a sign-up sheet. If you are interested in going, if you want to go, I'm going to pass this around tonight or this afternoon during the service. Sign your name. Now, Sister June has explained to me, and I called Waldemere this year, Say you're a senior citizen and you want to go because you just want the fellowship and you want to get together with people and you want to have a nice lunch, but you're not going to ride. Who in here is going to ride a roller coaster? Put your hand up, Sister Carter. Me and you's going in the front car. Okay? Who in here is going to ride rides? The younger people are excited. Who in here would like to go, but you're not going to ride anything? Okay, we want you to go as well. And at Waldemere, what's nice is you're free. You can enter the park. You can walk around. You can fellowship with everyone. You just can't ride anything. I want you to sign your name as well. We want to get an accurate head count so that we can call Waldemere, buy the tickets, schedule the day, and get prepared to go. I want every person here to go if you want to go. I don't want to force you, but I think connecting with people is very important. So please come with us. You'll have a good time. If not, I can't do anything for you. I want everyone to go. We raised enough money that we're going to be able to do this. So please, if you're interested, as we go, just pass this around throughout. I already put our names on there. Just pass it around. Sign your name. If you're going to sign your kids' names, I want families to be able to go. We're going to be able to take care of it. I'm excited about that. So please sign that sign-up sheet. Here's one more thing before we get started. We had our family week outing this week. Wednesday, a group of us met at Lakeshore Park and had a picnic. It's the second time that we've done this. I feel it went very, very well. I enjoyed it very much. Some people played frisbee. Some people played catch. Other people got to talk and catch up. Some people that are not members, spouses of people that are not members, feel comfortable coming to this. Other people feel comfortable coming to events like this. And it was brought up during this event that we should do this once a month. And I want you to hear from my voice. I think it's a fantastic idea. I think once a month, there's nothing complicated. Make a side dish and show up at the park. If you want to swim right now, if you want to swim, you're courageous because the water is cold. But if you want to swim, hop in the water. If you want to go for a walk, if you want to just hang out under the pavilion and talk, if you just want to eat, it's a way for the church to come together. And we're going to talk about that today. Listen, you need human interaction. As I got into the car to come to church this morning, I had on K-Love, and when I turned it on, they said this is the most connected, disconnected generation in human history. We have no excuse with the technology we have. We are connected worldwide, yet today we probably have the highest percentage of people that would consider themselves lonely because they have no actual human connection. I think the church needs to be a connection point for people, and I want everyone, I want everybody, I want us to put everything aside. We are brothers and sisters. We are of like precious faith. We love one another, and we should be able to get together more often and enjoy one another's company. So here's what I'm going to do, and she's going to give me a dirty look. If you are interested in organizing this, where we can have every time the weather's nice, once a month, I don't care what day it is, do whatever works the best for everybody. I don't care what time it is, do what's best for everybody. I don't care what the menu is, do what's best for everybody. If you are interested in helping organize it, get with my wife. She can champion this. Because if I organize it, it's going to be a disaster. If she organizes it, it's going to be frilly and cute and pretty and all that other kind of stuff. If I organize it, we're going to have pork rinds and that's it. So if you would like to be a part of this, please talk to my wife. I am in favor of this. I am endorsing this. I think once a month we should get together. It doesn't have to be at Lakeshore. It can be somewhere else. I just figured that's the easiest thing. There's a lot of stuff for people to do, and I want everybody to be involved. Amen? Okay, kids, you, the kids, the children and the teachers that are going downstairs for children's church, you are dismissed at this time. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to feel the presence of the Lord. Thank you for being with us in church. Let's get into the Word of the Lord. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Psalms chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1 in your hearing to take a scripture text for this morning's lesson. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 says this. The psalmist David writes, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." If I was to put a title on what I want to talk to you for the next few moments about, it would be this: a change would do you good. A change would do you good. How many of you realize sometimes in life, a change is not always a bad thing? Now, how many of you like change? Is there anybody? I do not like change. I got a compliment on my sports jacket just a few moments ago, and it's awkward for me to wear it because I don't like it, because I don't like change. I like plain. I like white dress shirt. I don't like change. If you'll notice, it's very faint, but there's a pattern on my shirt today. It's awkward for me. What I have done is I've allowed my wife to start to influence my wardrobe a little bit. I can't give her full rein because I'd come in here with flowers and everything. So it's a little bit at a time because I resist change. If it was up to me, I would still dress like I did in high school. And I would peg my jeans, and I would wear Reebok pump high tops, and I'd roll my sleeves up, and I would part my hair because I would still have it. Because I don't like change. I would still wish that I had my 1993 Z24 Cavalier with my blacked out headlights and my ground effect lights, so when I turned the car on, it would shine going down the road red. But my wife made me change. And change sometimes, most people are resistant to change. I grew up in church. My dad was my pastor, and my dad always had a saying. He said, if you ever want to start a church split, buy new curtains. And I was like, that don't even make any sense, until I got older and realized how resistant to change sometimes we are. My dad said, if you ever want to start a church fight, just buy new curtains for the sanctuary, because somebody is emotionally invested in the ones you have, and when you change it, you're going to see a hornet's nest rise up. But sometimes, if you look at the screen, a change would do you some good. How many of you realize sometimes a change in relationships does you good? Anybody ever been in a bad relationship? Anybody ever been in what they call a toxic relationship? And I'm not talking just about your romantic partner. I'm talking about, anybody have somebody in your family that's just, when they're around, it causes issues? Anybody you ever work with that every time they walk into the break room, the whole atmosphere of the break room changes, and not in a good way, but a bad way? Are you, any of you, the person that when you walk in, everything changes? How about when you walk into a room, do people say, hey, or do the people go, oh? I'm going to be very careful where I'm walking, because I know sometimes when I walk in, people are like, ugh. But sometimes a change would do us some good. In the scripture that we read, David said happy, because blessed means happy. I'm going to read all down through chapter 1 of Psalms 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How many of you would like that testimony, that whatever you do, it would prosper? No matter what you put your hand to, it would prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wheat driveth away. Does anybody understand that scripture? Let me give you just a Bible study, because we talk about the chaff all the time in Old Testament a lot. When they would thresh wheat, what they would do is they would take it literally and throw it into the air. Because the important parts or the necessary parts of wheat were heavy enough that if you threw it into the wind, it would fall back to the ground. The chaff, or what was a waste of the wheat, when you threw it into the air, the wind would blow it away. So what the scripture is saying is the ungodly are not so. The ungodly do not prosper. The ungodly do not, they're not like a tree planted by a river of living water. They are like the chaff. They just get blown away. They're not important. They're not necessary. And it says the chaff will be blown away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to read verse 1 again. Say this with me. Say, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, how many of you, let's be honest, how many of you have somebody in your life that has a voice in your life, that speaks in your life, that has impact or influence in your life that is ungodly? Don't raise your hand. I just want you to think. The scripture says, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Can I give you really good pastoral advice to get this message started? Let me read it the way I wrote it. How many of you have been around church a long time? How many of you remember Sunday school where the kids would come and sing Sunday school songs? How many of you sang Sunday school songs when you were in Sunday school? Sing some of them. All right, I'm going to start a song and you sing it with me. See if you know this one. Father Abraham. Sing like you mean it. Oh, yeah. Right arm. And then the kids would be up there, they'd dance around. Any of you ever sing this one? Maybe this one was one we just sang. Running over, running over. My cup is full and running over. Did you ever sing that one? What about this? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise men build his... All right, whoever sang this one? Watch your eyes, what they see. Watch your eyes, what they see. For there's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Watch your eyes, what they see. How many of you think I'm crazy right now? How many of you think I should send someone downstairs and tell my wife to have the kids ready in 30 minutes to come up and sing those songs? Okay, I'm not doing that because I'll get divorced. Because my wife will be like, I ain't making them kids do nothing. They don't listen. There was a verse in that last song that we were singing that said this. Watch your ears, what they hear. Watch your ears, what they hear. For there's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Watch your ears, what they hear. Can I give you good pastoral advice? As a Christian, you are not required to allow your ears to become the garbage can for someone that's spewing nonsense. You do not have to just passively sit by and allow the ungodly to have a voice of counsel in your life. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go a step farther. If you want happiness and joy in your life, you cannot sit or stand or believe in the counsel of the ungodly. Sometimes you have to take ownership of your ears and tell people politely to keep your opinions to yourself. I ought to get an amen, Brother Mike, in the house of God this morning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Every person alive should not have a voice in your life. You should guard closely the advice and the leadership and the counsel that you take. Younger people need to learn this very quickly. It's going to be hard for you to serve God if you have 19 pastors and they're all on YouTube. Amen, Brother Mike. Not everybody should have a voice into your life. Not every preacher is what they claim to be. Not every pastor is who they claim to be. And the Bible says that happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be very careful who you lend your ear to. The serpent, when he came to Eve, only said one word different than what God had said. God said, in the day that you eat of the tree, thou shalt surely die. The snake slithered along and said, thou shalt not surely die. It is very important for you to control who has a voice in your life. Sometimes a change would do you good. Some of you just need to turn the computer off once in a while. Some of you need to turn your phone off once in a while. Some of you need to quit inviting into your ear nonsense that comes from the ungodly. Amen, Brother Mike. You're preaching good today. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. A change would do some of us some good. Some of us need to tell some of the people that talk into our lives very politely, I've heard all I'm going to hear from you today. I remember one time, they're both passed on. God bless their souls. My mom and my dad was the pastor of the church. The only person that had my dad's ear in many cases was my mother. And many times she would not speak. She would not talk to him about church things, but every once in a while she would raise up and give her opinion. And I remember one time my dad was going through something. They had a big issue going on in the church, and my dad was struggling with it. He was battling in prayer and fasting and just not seeming to get anywhere. That happens with leadership. They struggle. They intercede and they don't get the answer that they think they should get, and they just keep going. They keep being faithful. They keep preaching, but they're battling with something. And I remember my mom thought she knew the answer, and we were in the car and we were coming home from church, and my dad had pastored and he had ministered that night, and it was just one of them messages that just seemed like it couldn't get off the ground. And my dad was just in his spirit. My dad was just driving the car, and you could just see that the spirits were all over him, just perplexing his mind. And my mom was over there giving her advice, not trying to be rude, not trying to be disrespectful, not trying to be ignorant, trying to help. But in the meantime, my dad looked at her and he said, Burry, that was her name. He said, I've heard all I'm going to hear. And he looked at her and she knew that meant shut up. Some of you need to tell some people in your lives, I've heard all I'm going to hear. The best thing that you could do right now is take the top lip that you have and stick it to the bottom lip that you have, and please shut your mouth. Because blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Some of you will leave this place on a spiritual cloud 9, and before the sun sets tonight, your spirit will be completely 180'd by the people that have access to your life, because they drain you spiritually. You are not required to just take it. Stand up and walk away from it, because a change might do you some good. I have people come to me for counseling, and they really don't want the answer that I have to give them. Pastor, pray for this. We don't need to pray about it. You need to put your shoes on and change location today. I had a preacher. He's a good friend of mine. I love him. He preached the night I got saved. He said when people come to him and they say, "Preacher, can you pray for my relationship? Me and my boyfriend are fighting." He says, "I won't pray for your relationship until you move out of the house." Blessed quietness. Sometimes a change would do you some good. We don't like change. Listen, I have a family. I grew up in a family. I know family dynamic. Sometimes you got to tell Uncle so-and-so, and sometimes you got to tell Meemaw so-and-so, "I've heard everything that I'm going to hear, because the counsel you are giving me is ungodly." Proverbs chapter 4 says this, verse 14. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Verse 15, "Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they come to some fall." Do you know anybody in your life that just seems to always, 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 no matter what, create drama? Now, in a new, I guess this isn't really new, like the younger people would say this is old, but this is the way I learned it just a few years ago. Some people, they call them drama queens. I call them drama llamas because it rhymes. Some people are just drama llamas. No matter what, they're always just into some sort of mischief. Anybody know anybody like that? Anybody know anybody, if they get involved with it, it's going to be chaos? No, I'm talking about anything. We could plan a trip to Waldemere, have it all planned, and there are people that if you let them have any decision-making, if you say this, "Hey, I want you to make sure we have ketchup for the picnic," and you give them that amount of responsibility and that amount of influence on the day, they're going to ruin the whole day. The scripture says with people like that, avoid them. How are you preaching? You're so rude. We're trying to grow the church, and you're telling me, I'm telling you biblically what the Bible says. The Bible says, avoid it. Pass it not. Don't even go near it. Turn from it. Pass away. You know what I'm talking about. You don't need me to preach it right down your throat. You don't need me to bawl you out. But you know as well as I do, sitting here this morning, there are people in your life right now that every chance they get, they are draining you spiritually. You're having a hard enough time trying to live for God as it is, and they are a negative. They are not an asset to you. They are a liability. Being around them, some of them are family. You don't have to be around them. You can stay home. Somebody better get on my side, because I'm preaching better than you're reacting. I'm telling you the truth this morning. Some of you, a change would do you some good. Job, who the Bible says was a perfect man, he looked at his wife, and it was all he had left. All of his children had died. All of his livestock was gone. He was struck with sore boils, the Bible says, from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. He lay in sackcloth and ashes, scratching himself with a broken piece of pottery. His wife came to him, who had been with him through it all, and she said, "Do you not retain any of your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job looked at him and said, "You speak as one of the foolish women." Some of you today need to stand up and tell the people in your life, "I'm not listening to it anymore." Somebody tell brother, I'm not wearing this jacket no more. I've came here to be calm today. I sang the Sunday school song and the whole spirit in this place shifted. Sing it with me again. Wise man, Bill, let's calm down. Somebody go get those kids up here. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Get out of the Old Testament, Brother Mike. Get into the New Testament. I'm going to read you some powerful scriptures of what the Apostle Paul said. Romans 16 and 17. Read this with me. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and what? The Apostle Paul said that? The Apostle Paul said, I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. When you have people in your life telling you, I know that that's what Pastor Mike teaches, but you don't have to do that, the Apostle Paul said to you, mark those people. Put an X on them. Put the scarlet letter on them and avoid them. Can I teach you how to avoid people? Who wants to be my volunteer? Come here, Annalise. I guarantee you're good at this. I guarantee this right up your alley. Okay? I didn't instruct her on this at all. I'm going to come hug you. Avoid me. That's it. Let me tell you something. Listen, you don't hear this in church anymore. You know what avoiding is, Sister Carter? If I think you're causing division contrary to the doctrine to which I believe, and it's been delivered to me, and the Bible tells me to mark you and avoid you, here's what avoid means. I know Sister Carter goes to Panda Buffet every Sunday. I don't go there no more. Blessed quietness. I know Sister Carter goes to so-and-so place every so often. I don't go there no more. I know Sister Carter's going to be the kind of person, I'm using her because she's got big shoulders and she can take it. I've known people in church, not everybody that puts a suit on every Sunday morning has the right spirit about them. Amen, Brother Mike. And I've known people, ministers of the gospel, that do everything publicly to try to make a public show of things. So they know that you are at odds with you at something, and you end up at a funeral together because of common traits and common relationships that you have in families. And they come try to make a spectacle at a funeral and come give you a hug in front of everybody so that the visual is that everything's okay. Here's how you avoid them. Nope. Nope. They come up and go to shake your hand. Here's how the scripture says you do. Nope. Anybody know this one? I'm telling you, a change would do some of you good. Because spiritually, your mind is so bewildered because you listen to everybody's viewpoint. And you wonder why spiritually you're on empty all the time. Amen, Brother Mike. I'm in the right vein. God gave me this message. A change would do some of you some good. You want to know what the definition, the textbook way to become discouraged in your walk with God is? Have more than one pastor. You want to know how to ruin my marriage? Let me get a girlfriend. Well, my wife don't pay me enough attention. She don't have enough time for me. I love Brother Mike and his family, but he don't talk enough about this stuff. So I get that from YouTube. I'm preaching to you now. That's why it's quiet. The Bible says, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This same Apostle Paul said, although you have many instructors in Christ, you have one Father who's begotten you. I'm telling you right now from experience, and I know you don't want to hear it because this seems hard. And this seems to go against your philosophy. Leave here and watch YouTube videos of preachers all week, and you will be emotionally and spiritually empty. Because what you need to do is you need to make a decision to change would do you some good. What you need to say is, I'm in with both feet. Listen to me. I'm going to preach to you. I'm going to call some names. You need to turn off Pastor So-and-so on YouTube and take that time in YouTube and get down on your face before God and pray and read the scripture for yourself. You need to turn off YouTube on Tuesday and be in Bible study in this place on Tuesday. You need to quit joining prayer rooms online and show up physically for the assembly that you call yourself a member at. You need to quit watching IBC Corral on Facebook and start practicing and singing your own songs. I'm talking to you this morning. The Bible says that happy is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and a change would do you good. If when I preach this, you feel like he's talking to me, he's talking about me, I am talking about you. Today's the day to change your life. Now, you've heard it from Brother Mike himself. Any person alive that is breathing oxygen and can physically make it into this building is welcome in this church. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what gender they are. I don't care about their sexual preference. I don't care about their education level. I don't care about their religious background. I don't care about whether they're sober, drunk, high, out of their mind. I don't care. They are welcome in this place. However, listen to me. Judgment begins at the house of God. We are not going to back up from what we believe just to grow a crowd. There needs to be a change in them. And they're not going to try to live to be more like God if we don't. I don't want anybody greeting them at the door and telling them, we don't take your kind. We take all kinds, but we take all those kinds and we try to convert them to one kind. And his name is Jesus, and his word is forever settled in heaven. It also says, blessed is the man that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Can I say something very straightforward? There should be a separation between the church and the world. Listen, I'm gonna preach it to you whether you like it or not. There should be a difference between the saints of God and the world. We should look different. We should act different. We should talk different. We should eat different. We should drink different. We should smoke different. We should do things differently. We should conduct ourselves differently. And if we don't, it's not their fault, it's ours. The scripture says, happy is the man that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. There's got to be a change. Here we go. You're going to preach all your little crazy holiness, your mean standards. You're going to get your checklist out and tell me, if I do this, is that a heaven? I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. You want to be happy? You want to be fulfilled spiritually? You need to start obeying the scriptures. Not your whim. You should not go. You should not do. You should not say. You should not conduct yourself like the world. The Bible says, do not learn their ways. Do you know when they would go in the Old Testament and they would take over a heathen nation? That they would give them instructions. When you get into that town, you take all their statues and you break them. You take all their books and you burn them. You take all their artwork and you destroy it. You don't keep anything. And the reason was so that you don't learn their ways. We don't do that anymore. Have an encounter with the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Ghost moves on us. We feel His presence. Our tingle machine goes off. The hair on the back of our neck stands up. Our goosebump machine turns on. We shake a little bit. We speak in tongues. We get baptized in Jesus' name. And instead of turning from our wicked ways, we go right back into the same environment and somehow think that we're going to control the environment. And what happens is the environment controls us. I know I'm old-fashioned. I know you guys don't like it. But let me tell you something. When we start getting young girls in this building and they start liking young boys, and we start getting young boys and they start liking young girls, and I've got young girls that are trying to serve the Lord and they're doing everything they can to serve the Lord, and they come to me one Sunday and say, "Hey, I want you to meet Billy. I brought him to church with me, and I don't have the right feeling about Billy," I'm going to tell the young girl, "Billy needs to go away." I'm going to win him to the Lord. No, he's going to win you back to the world. Billy needs to high step it on out. If you Billy still wants to come, I'm fine with that. You sit on this side of the church, and Billy sits on this side of the church. I don't care what your mom allows. I don't care what your dad allows. I'm the father of this house, and it's not going to happen on my watch. And if you don't like that, let me translate it to the Greek for you, okay? Let me prophesy to you in the Hebrew. You don't like that kind of teaching? Well, fooey on you! I've been around this long enough. Everybody that throws their Bible up under their arms and puts on a show ain't actually in it for the right reasons. And the Bible says, don't stand in the way of sinners. There's a separation that happens at the threshold of the door of the house of God. The priest, if he walked into the Holy of Holies and had sin on him, he fell dead. That's why his garment had a bell and a pomegranate and a bell and a pomegranate, so that when he walked into the presence of God, there was a noise that was made. And when the noise stopped, they didn't go in and grab him. They were so respectful of the presence of the Lord, they would take a hook without even looking and grab the priest and drag him out. I'm telling you, when you come into the presence of God, it's time to change, and a change would do you good. Phinehas went to the house of God, and he saw a man of God bring in a heathen woman and brought her right into the house of God and was displaying her. And he had been taught his whole life, like all the nation of Israel had been taught, to not marry heathen women. And this man not only married a heathen woman, he brought her right to the house of God. And Phinehas got so worked up over it that the Bible says he went and grabbed a javelin and ran them both through and killed them in the house of God. And you would think, oh, that's terrible. And God said, from now on, Phinehas is my man, because he was willing to stand up for truth. I'm telling you, a change would do you good. It's time for some of you to change your attitude and submit yourself to pastoral authority. I'm going to talk for a while. You got three pastors, you don't have anyone. If you go to church and every place you go, you're looking for a word from God, you're not where you need to be spiritually. I'm going to preach to you whether you like it or not. You don't have to come back, but you're going to hear it while you're here. That's not God's design at all. God's design is for his saints to submit themselves to authority. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, that they may do it with joy, because if they have to do it with grief, that's unprofitable for you. If you're always causing issues or always causing division, you better be thankful that there are men of God that are going to the Lord and saying, let me dung around them one more year. Let me keep trying, because I've got just as much scripture that tells me that I have every right to mark you and avoid you. Let me ask you, men, How would you like it in your home if every decision you made with your wife had to go through another man first? What? Let me ask you something. How would you like it if I, how you think, everyone think my wife's kind? Well, you're crazy because she's not. How you think it would work if I went home and Katie said, I feel we should do this. And I said, hold on, let me call this other lady and ask her first. You know what my wife would say to me, kind Katie? She wouldn't say, go ahead and call her. She would say, go live with that skank then. I remember the biggest fight we had in our early marriage. Katie asked me to do something in the house. And I was going to get to it eventually. 6 months later, I came home from work. Guess who was in my house? Another man. The one man I didn't want to see in my house. Her dad. He was fixing it. She said, my dad knows how to do stuff. I said, don't you ever, and I mean ever, let me come home and find your dad touching anything. My house. This is my house. You want to know what aggravates your pastor? When you're getting spiritual advice from people that aren't me. And you know why it bothers me? Because you have a lot of pride in your ego. No, because this is scripture. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you wouldn't allow it from your spouse, why would I allow it from you? Amen. Some of you need to decide today, a change would do me good. If you don't trust me, leave now. Amen, Brother Mike. Because the last thing it says to be a happy man is you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. The first 2 points we talked about focused on how we should handle and control the influence and impact that we allow others to have in our lives. Now let's get personal. What about our own actions? What change do we need to do us some good? The word scornful refers to those who openly mock God, despise wisdom, and reject correction. The word scornful is translated from the Hebrew word leets, which translate literally to a scoffer, a mocker, or an ambassador of deceit. A scorner is viewed as completely unteachable because they believe they are superior to others and already possess all the answers. Can I ask you something point blank? And this is for everybody. This is from Sister Carter down. Who in your life has ultimate veto power? I want to explain something to you. That means Sister Brenda, with everything in her, her whole spirit wants to do something. And she believes it's the will of God for her to do something. And she desires to do something. And she has the means to do this thing. According to Scripture, she is supposed to have somebody in her life that can walk up to her and say, no. And she immediately obeys. So I'm going to ask you again, who's yours? And don't tell me Jesus. The Bible says not to sit in the seat of the scornful. And the scornful believe that they can't be taught anything because they already know. It's a scary place to get. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. All of this nonsense of this lone wolf, long ranger Christianity spirit is from the adversary. You cannot live this at home. You cannot live this by yourself. It's not you and Jesus on that old lonely road. And when I get in trouble, he carries me because I have the footprints in my bedroom. You need to be submitted to spiritual authority that has veto power in your life. And I don't care how high you get in God, that never changes. I have men of God that if they call me on the phone and said, cancel the Waldemere trip the morning of, we're not going. This is good teaching. Obedience is easy because obedience is when you do what you understand. Submission is hard because submission is obedience when you don't understand. So when that preacher looks at you and says, you need to do this, and everything in your mind and everything in your heart and everything in your wisdom and everything in your knowledge is to do the opposite of what he just said, you say, I am going to submit my will. Who likes doing it? If you raise your hand, you're a liar. Anybody like wrestling? Anybody like MMA? Quit lying. I know you guys watch it. I'm a preacher. I know I'm not supposed to watch it, but there's something fascinating to me to watch guys get knocked unconscious. I just like it. You guys watch preachers on YouTube. You know what I watch every once in a while? When I'm really having a bad day, you can just YouTube and it'll say, like, loudmouth gets knocked unconscious. And there's thousands of videos. Like, you ever see tough guys always running their mouth? I love watching them get knocked out. And the best knockouts are when they go stiff. You ever see a guy get punched and his arm just goes, he's laying on the ground straight up. I get so happy. I make Katie, she's like, you're sick in the mind. There's something wrong with your mind. I love it. Now, I said all that to say this. If you watch MMA or you watch wrestling, you know what a submission hold is. It's when your opponent gets you into a position where you can't do anything. And the way that you give up is you tap out. They'll grab your arm or they'll grab your leg and get you in a position where if you don't submit, they'll break. I've seen them. I've seen guys so prideful, unwilling to submit, and the guy's looking at them, waiting for them to submit. They won't submit, and they just snap their arm in half. Literally break their elbow. And the fight's over. Why do you think the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? We love that part. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. You know what part of that we don't like? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what the shepherd has to do sometimes? Literally, when he's herding the sheep, and he finds a sheep that won't quit wandering off. Do you know what shepherds actually do? They'll break their legs. I'm trying to preach to you today. Why don't you make the change before God has to break your legs. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You don't know everything. We haven't made it yet. I don't care how long you lived for God. You're not there yet. Psalms 26 and 4 says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Jeremiah 15 and 17 says, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Do you know sometimes in living for God, you're going to have to be willing to stand all by yourself. Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, the weeping prophet, said, I would not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice with them, but I sat alone. Jesus had 12 men. When he went to the cross, how many were there? Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane with 11 because Judas had left. He went out. He said, whatsoever thou do, do quickly. Judas went and gets the throng. Jesus goes in a part of Gethsemane to pray. He takes three of his disciples a little bit farther than all the other ones. They all fall asleep, and Jesus is praying. The mob comes and takes him captive. They take him into captivity, and they all ran. Peter and a couple of them ran beside and kind of stayed behind. They were out in the porch, warming themselves as Jesus was in the judgment hall. My point is this. If you're going to walk with God, there's going to be times when you're going to walk alone. Why do you think Brother Mike pushes connection so hard? Why do you think I talk about it all the time? Why do you think I think fellowship is important? Everyone comes to me, I want to do a Bible study on Revelations. You don't need a Bible study on Revelations. You need to come to Lakeshore Park. I'm being dead serious. Because figure out who Wormwood is. Go ahead. Go ahead. List all 24 elders for me. Tell me what every vial means, every horn means, every crown means, every beast coming up out of the water means. Learn it all. Learn everything you need to learn. Learn it all. Watch it all day long. Watch every movie, Left Behind 2, How Is There 2. Watch The War Room, watch Courage, watch them all. Learn it all. And then I want you to rely on that when you wake up alone. Why do you think Jesus himself never sent his disciples out one? He always sent them out two by two. And he said the reason was so that when you fall, because you're going to fall, she's there to pick you up. But go ahead. Go ahead and sit in that seat and say, I've been saved longer than that boy's been alive. And he got a Smurf jacket on today. He don't know what he's talking about. My pastor never spit on anybody. He never yelled. He never had to raise his voice. I don't believe a word he has to say. And continue to sit in the seat of the scornful. And when you fall by yourself and have no one to pick you up, rely on who you know Wormwood is. I know who Apollyon is because I listened to Perry Stone give me a 13-week Bible study on it. Jesus preached one time. He preached so hard. At the beginning of the chapter, they had a huge multitude. They had a huge crowd. He was feeding people. He was doing miracles. He was healing the sick.
He was raised from the dead. And if we do that now, if I put healing campaign on a banner out there, we don't have enough seats. If I put out that I'm going to tell you who the 420 elders is, this place is packed full. Jesus stands up in a huge crowd and he says, I am that bread that came down from heaven. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And the Bible says they all turned and walked away. And Jesus looked at his disciples. As I'm looking at you this morning. And he said, will you also go away? One man had enough nerve to stand up and say, where could we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You do not want to sit in the seat of the scornful. If you think you already know enough, and you believe that you're already close enough to God, God would have come and taken you like he did Enoch. There's still more for you to do. And I think what he's calling us to do today is to change our attitudes. Because I believe a change would do us some good. Are you praying for complete submission? No, because I've been honest with you before and I'll be honest with you again. There's many times in the last year that I've fallen under the weight of this pastorship. I don't talk about it. I'm supposed to know how to pray. I'm supposed to know because I'm supposed to speak life to you. But there's days, and sometimes those days turn into weeks. But I tell my wife, I'm just going to go over to the church. For what? I got some stuff I got to get done. I come in this. I usually move this because this is where I go. I move this. If you look, you can see it. I just lay before the Lord. God, what am I supposed to do? God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm fearful. I see something coming down. God, I'm like the watchman on the wall. I see it coming. I see it coming. It's coming. The enemy's coming. God, we're not ready. I'm sounding the alarm. God, I'm telling them that they need holiness. God, I'm telling them that they need sanctification. God, just like you told your people that when you came into the camp to wash themselves because you're a holy God. And God, you always came with a warning first. You never brought destruction without a warning. And God, I'm the watchman. I'm sounding the warning. But God, the enemy's still approaching. And he's speeding up. And he's getting closer to the walls of the church. And God, I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Never one time has God said, get up and teach on the third chapter of Revelations. But you know what he has told me? He said, get them together. Get them together. Keep them together. Keep them together. Anybody ever watch what wild animals do? If there's a lion that's going to attack a herd, they're going to attack a herd of gazelles. You ever watch what the gazelles do? They round up. They take the young, they take the old, and they take the sick, and they put them in the middle, and they protect them. That's what God says. He said, get them together. Keep them in the house of God. Keep them connected. Keep them connected. Keep them connected. And I said, God, I'm the worst spokesman for keeping them connected because I'd rather fish by myself. I'd rather go to Lakeshore Park by myself. I'd rather walk by myself. I'd rather stay by myself. And he said, that's why I'm choosing you. Keep them together. And I said, God, how do I do it? He says, you model the behavior that I want to see. You know how much I like hugging people? Negative 50. You know how much I like shaking hands? You know how many times I've washed my hands since I've taken over the pastorship of the church? Not because I think you have cooties, but because I don't want to give them to you. If you don't believe me, if no one's gone in there yet since then, my soap is out in my bathroom in my office. And I had the refill bottle open, and it's empty. And I was shaking it upside down right before I came out. And you know what kind of soap I use? Milk and honey from Soft Soap to try to get me in the right mind frame. So when I sniff my hands, I'm like, oh, we're going into the promised land. You want to be happy? You want to make it to heaven? Then do me this favor. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't allow yourself to find yourself seated in the seat of the scornful. And don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Make up your mind today. This isn't a go home and chew on this message. This is a respond this morning message. A change would do you some good. I know that when you start asking people to change, that's like asking for money. I'm imploring you. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I want to speak to everybody in this building that's over the age of 70 years old. And I want to speak as your pastor. And if you don't want to hear me, that's fine. If you study highway patrol statistics, the vast majority of fatal car accidents where people die in the car accidents happen within 25 miles of their home. I don't know why that is. I just know that it is. You can drive to California on Route 66, make it all the way home, be coming off 90 and get off in Austinburg and get hit on Route 20 and die. What does that have to do with anything, Pastor Mike? I want to talk to you about it spiritually. Some of you have been on this journey for a long time. You can literally, you remember the old song, is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? Is that the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony? If that's the lights of home, then it's a welcome sign to me. Some of you are so close to heaven, you can smell it. You dream about it. God speaks to you in visions about it. You've had visions of God so real that you didn't know, just like the Apostle Paul, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. You wake up and you're discouraged that you couldn't just stay asleep in God. You're that close. Everything that you've done in your life is to get you to this point. You literally can almost go down to the lake and close your eyes and envision and meditate and hear the voice of God saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're that close. Do not not choose to sit in the seat of the scornful. You're right there. You're almost home. Happy is the man, and that can be woman as well, that will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They won't stand in the way with sinners, and they won't sit in the seat of the scornful. I say it and I mean it. We're going somewhere. Listen, don't get real happy because God called me to drive the car, but he didn't give me no GPS. I feel like Abraham. Abraham said, go out to a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham said, where is it? He said, just start walking. So we got into a big church van. We got into the PCC gospel machine about a year ago, and we've been driving. Where are we going, Brother Mike? Just trust me. Just trust me. We're going to get there. Where are we going? Just trust me. Just trust me. I know some of you are in the back seat. You're like, does he know where he's going? Let's get there. Just like Paul before he got shipwrecked on Melita, he said, be of good courage. There's going to be no death if you abide in the ship. Stay in the ship. Stay in the house. Stay in the boat. And I'm telling you how you stay in it. When you come in, Sister Gwendolyn, and you're discouraged, and you're down in the dumps, and the devil's beating you up, what's encouraging and makes you want to stay one more day is when Hector walks across and shakes your hand and says, man, it's good to see you in church this morning. It's good to see. It ain't when I get up and tell you who Wormwood is, but when Sister Nicole stands up and she says, you know what, I'm really struggling today, and she don't tell anybody, but Sister Brenda says, you know what, my spirit of discernment says that Nicole needs a hug, and without being told, without being instructed, you just walk over and say, sister, it looks like you could use a hug, and I'm here to tell you God is good, and he's good all the time. If we'll continue to do what God has called us to do, God's going to make a way for us. So I must tell you to stand to your feet. As I was ministering the word, at any point during this message, did God speak to any of you and say that you should make a change? I know there's more than one. So what I want us to do is I want us to take 5 minutes. It's barely afternoon. I want us to take 5 minutes, and I want every person that would that's physically able to come to this altar. We're not laying hands on nobody today. We're not trying to pray anybody through to the Holy Ghost. I'm not looking to try to encourage you to get baptized in Jesus' name. That's not what this is about. This is a commitment day today. This is a day where we're going to say, you know what? I believe what was preached. I believe what the word says, and I'm going to commit myself. I can't speak for my brother. I can't speak for my sister. I can't speak for my husband. I can't speak for my wife. I can't speak for my neighbor, but I can speak for me. And I'm choosing today. I'm choosing today to be blessed of God. And I know the way that I do that is I am no longer going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I am not going to stand in the way of sinners, and I am not going to sit in the seat of the scornful, and God's going to minister in your life. God's going to open opportunities for you in the house of God. So let's right now, if we don't need music, we can pray without music. I know it's distracting for some people to let your voice be heard, but I'm asking you, if you want to raise your hands, if you want to bow, if you want to kneel, I don't think it's necessary. I think we should stand. I think we should look towards heaven, and I think we should talk to God and say something along these lines. God, I just want to be closer to you. God, I want to commit my ways to you. God, I believe in what is taking place, Lord, and I just want to be on the same team. God, I want to help pull this church in the same direction. God, God, it's not about me. God, it's not about my ideas. God, it's not about my views, Lord. It's about us as a body of saints of God. Lord, I'm not going to sit in the assembly of the mockers. I am not going to sit with the vain persons. I'm not going to go with the disassemblers, Lord, but I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to stand here in the congregation of the saints of God. I'm going to stand with my brothers and with my sisters. I'm going to help them fight the battle of faith. Lord, I'm going to believe with everything in me, Lord. I'm not going to give my ear to nonsense anymore, but I'm going to listen to the word of God that comes forth from the pulpit. Lord, I'm going to submit myself to the authority in my life. Lord, I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, God. I want to eat of the salvation of your tree, God. I appreciate you this day, God. You've been good to me. I want to give you thanksgiving. I want to give you praise. I want to give you honor. I want to give you glory. God, your way is right, Lord. You are leading and you are guiding us, God. Let your spirit descend in this house, Lord. Help us to bind us together, Lord, with cords of love that cannot be broken. Help us to all pull in the same direction, Lord. As we see the enemy approach, let us lock arm in arm and withstand him, Lord. Let us resist the devil that he will flee from us, God. We know that if we stand upon your word, true is your word, it is forever settled in heaven, God. All good things come down from heaven, and they're from you, Lord, and we're appreciative of it, Jesus. We thank you, God, for the saints that are in this place this day. Lord, help us, Lord God, to bind ourselves one with another, Lord, to let our hearts be knit one with another, to let the love of God spread abroad through our bosoms, Lord, as we embrace one another and pray for one another and esteem one another and encourage one another and prefer one another. Jesus, be in this place, God. Bless us, Lord Jesus. Help us, God, to never stray, Lord. Help us, God, to tune our ears to what thus saith the Spirit unto the church. Help us, God, to not stand in the way of sinners, to decide today, Lord, to make a change, to be more like you, to sanctify ourselves, to consecrate ourselves, to dedicate ourselves, Lord. Help us not to sit in the seat of the scornful, God, but to believe what it is that you say, that we may see the miraculous move of your Spirit, Lord. Miracles, signs, and wonders still happen to the church, God, and we're believing you in faith, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you. We love you, Lord. We know that you are with us. We appreciate you, Lord, and we give all of this to you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the sanctification, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey to be at home again with friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for some entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over, all the beauty there to share. There's gonna be just a little while to labor, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. There's gonna be just a little more of trouble in this low and sinful state. And then we'll enter heaven's portal, sweeping through the pearly gates.
then we'll see the light of morning, and a new day will begin. Then we'll hear our Savior calling, come, my children, enter in. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. What a blessed, blessed morning that eternal morn will be. For now there's just a little while to lay here. There's just a little while to wait. We've just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. There's gonna be just a little more of trouble in this low and sinful state. But then we'll enter heaven's portal, sweeping through the pearly gates. One of these mornings, and I think it's going to be a morning just like today, you're going to wake up, you're going to be bewildered with all the cares of life. Life is going to have you burdened down. You're not going to have slept well. You're going to still be fatigued from the night before. The thing that was on your mind when you went to sleep is still going to be on your mind when you wake up. And you're going to swing your feet out the side of the bed to get ready for church. And it's going to be a morning different than any other morning, because you're going to hear a trumpet sound. And we're going to look to the eastern sky. And we're going to get taken out of this place. And we're going to be caught up forever to be with Him in heaven, changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Until that morning, stay locked together. Stay connected one to another. Stay faithful to the house of God. Make the changes that you need to make. And one of these days is going to be unlike any other day. And we're going to go home to be with God. I love you so much you don't even understand. And if you'll love me back, we can love each other. I know I'm hard to love. My dad said they had to tie a stake around my neck to get the dog to play with me. I was so ugly. But I'm telling you right now, if you'll love me, I'll love you back. And when you can't look at me, look at my wife. She's pretty, and love her. But keep loving me and I'll keep loving you. And in the meantime, let's love God together. And let's go to heaven as a body of saints. Let's make heaven our home. He's on our side. Let's pull in the same direction. Amen. I'm going to do the question my dad said never ask at the end of service, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are all minds clear? Amen. Then you are dismissed in Jesus' name. We'll see you at the next appointed time. Don't forget, if you'd like to be involved in the once-a-month fellowship, let my wife know.